Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Well, the Lord is good through about half the day, and then he's done. But thank God, at least we got a half a day out of them. No, thank God, his mercy endures throughout the whole day. Amen. Not just throughout the whole day, but throughout the whole week. Praise God. In fact, his mercy endures for at least a month. Amen. That'd be good, wouldn't it? But no, thank God, it don't stop there. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Think about that. Glory to God. God is merciful towards us all the time. It endures forever. So in other words, as long as we're able to receive it, it's there. If you can receive mercy, it's yours. It's never a question on God's end on whether or not he'll have mercy on you. His mercy endures anything you do in life. Any kind of rebellious, ugly thing, his mercy endures it. So if you can receive from him, it's yours. Isn't that great? I mean, it removes all the questions on God's side of things in life. We don't have to wonder about God. Well, have I pushed it too far? Have I gone too far? I just feel like I've gone too far, and I just think I've done too much. And, you know, people get this kind of idea that they've done too much, and they're not sure, you know, if God will forgive them this time. But that's so silly. I said it's so silly because the Bible says his mercy will endure your foolishness forever. He'll put up with your nonsense forever. Thank God. So it just becomes, what are we going to do? What are we going to do on our end? Are we going to repent and turn to him and turn from the goofy stuff, turn to Jesus, turn to God, and receive his mercy? Hallelujah. And if you're of that sort that'll turn to him and run to him, praise God, then you can do it. Hebrews 4:16 says, you can come boldly, you can come confidently, you can come with your head lifted high, knowing that he's there smiling, arms open wide, regardless of your works, regardless of what you've done or what you should have done and didn't do. Regardless of that, his arms are open wide and you can come in there boldly to obtain mercy. Ha ha, hallelujah. And find grace to help in a time of need. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Never have to doubt him. And of course, we know that with that mercy, there's healing. There's deliverance. You see that, you know, in the life of Jesus and his ministry, there were people that cried out to him, Lord, have mercy on me. And what they were needing was a healing. What they were needing was a deliverance. And they said, have mercy on me. And when he gave them mercy, they were healed. So healing is a mercy. Deliverance is a mercy. So how often will God forgive you? How often will God heal you? How often will God deliver you? Forever. Forever. Forever he will heal. Forever he will deliver. Well, I just don't know. You know, if the Lord maybe wants me to have this, you know, after all, I kind of brought it on myself. Well, it isn't your self-righteousness that is makes you worthy of healing to begin with. That makes you worthy of deliverance to begin with. It was never about your self-righteousness, your own personal worthiness. It's all because of his mercy. All because of his mercy. He's the one that makes us worthy if we'll receive. Praise God. So I can always come and get delivered. I can always come and get healed. I know without a shadow of doubt. Any kind of symptom comes, I'm not just going to go, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to, I don't know if God, you know, it might be because of this or it might be because of that. Well, if there's a this or a that in your life, then just repent of it. And which is easier to say? Your this or that is forgiven you? Arise, take up your bed and walk. Or get out of your bed and go out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just get up and go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's all on our end. How good are we going to be at receiving from God? Receiving from God. His mercy is without question. It should be without question in your mind and in your heart, because his word teaches us that his mercy is without question. It is consistent. It is all the time. It is available forever. That's all the time. Forever is forever. Throughout your whole life. Amen. How many of you know you're not going to be on the earth forever? And mercy is forever. Healing, deliverance, all these good things is forever. So you got it for your whole life. I mean, it's in the bag. Praise God, it's in the word. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody say, God loves me. And there's nothing I can do to change it. That's right. I mean, there's people running from God right now. They're running off into hell. You know what God's doing? He's doing what he's been doing since the day Adam sinned. He's chasing after him. He's saying, where are you? Where are you going? What are you doing? Hey, Charlie, where are you? What are you doing? Charlie's over there at the bar drinking, doing some drugs. What's God doing? Hey, Charlie, where are you? What are you doing? God's trying to get Charlie to wake up and recognize where he is and what he's doing, so that Charlie will turn and say, what am I doing? And turn to Jesus, turn to God, to repent and get things right with God. I let God clean him up. But you know, that's what God's doing to every human being out there. That's why you look, you see some of these folks blaspheming God. I mean, they're professional blasphemers. I mean, they do it with LED lights around them. They do it with cameras rolling. I mean, professional blasphemers. And you just look and you think, my God, why haven't you fried them yet? Why haven't you just removed them yet? Because God's not looking to remove folks. He's looking to save people. He's looking to deliver people. Come on, he's chasing after people. He's trying to bring them to their senses. How people know eternity is a long time. Eternity, you know, we get so impatient because, you know, we think about this little span of time that we're living in right now, you know. And so we want things to happen quick. We want things to just be taken care of quickly, because this life is passing away quickly, isn't it? But eternity is a whole lot longer than this life. And God sees where the wicked are going. He sees where they're headed, and he knows it is forever. So he is pursuing them. He is pursuing them, and he is trying to rescue them. He is trying to deliver them. Now, if he's doing that for the wicked, how much more for the righteous that get tripped up once in a while and stumble? Huh? What about the righteous that, you know, they had a bad day? You know, they just didn't do very well in their righteousness, walking by faith. How much more if he's pursuing Madonna? I didn't mean to say her name. If he's pursuing... some of the most vile people out there. How much more? Come on. Is he on your tail? How much more is he on your trail? How much more is he pursuing you? Glory to God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He is good and he is merciful. And every day of my life, he is right there, either walking beside me as I walk in harmony with him by being obedient to his word, walking by faith, or he's pursuing me. He's behind me, coming after me, trying to get me to slow down and come alongside by him and stop trying to do things in my own strength. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely goodness and mercy shall be with me and available to me all the days of my life. Oh man, that makes for a good life, folks. I said that makes for a really good life. That makes for a happy life. You can get happy knowing that. The biggest cause for unhappiness in the world today is condemnation. People's hearts are weighted down with sin, weighted down with guilt, weighted down with bad decisions they've made in the past. People are carrying their past around. They're carrying it around, their past. Carrying around their mistakes. Carrying around all this condemnation. I remember I was ministering the word of God to somebody and they were resistant at first to the word. They had never been saved, hadn't given their life to the Lord yet. And as I was sharing the word of God with them, all of a sudden it was like a light bulb went on it. And I mean literally, you could see their whole countenance change. I mean their face just brightened right up. And they said, I see it. Looked at me and said, I see it. Hallelujah. And then we prayed. They made Jesus the Lord of their life. They had repented, turned their life over to God, and looked at me afterwards and said, man, I just felt like this big weight just came off of me. I just felt like this big burden just came off of me. I said, well, see, that's all the sins that you've been carrying around that you didn't even know was there. You didn't even know it was there. And he literally felt that weight come off of him. But you know, the devil, he'll come along and he'll try to seduce us back underneath that weight. He'll try to put condemnation back on us again and try to load us down. And see, that makes people unhappy. They've got these weights, they've got these burdens, and they don't know why they're not happy. But they're just weighted down. And as a result of that, they're self-destructive. Because condemned people condemn people. People that are unhappy spread their unhappiness. And they'll spread it first into the people that are the closest to them, creating more unhappiness in their world around them. I mean, condemnation is a nasty thing, but oh, thank God his mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That we don't have to have any guilt, any condemnation, any feeling of inferiority before God, and thus especially before man. We don't have to feel intimidated and threatened by anybody. God is for me. Say, God is for me. If you know God's for you, man, and he's right there alongside with you, and he's committed to you. I mean, he's 110% committed. He's committed to you forever. Because that's how long his mercy is. It's forever. He's committed to you forever. So when you know, man, he's right there alongside with you. Oh, man. No guilt, no inferiority with God. I got favor with God. I got favor with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm on God's good side tonight. How did you do that? How did you get on God's good side? Well, I've done a lot of good things in my life. In fact, I'm doing some good things tonight. Therefore, I'm on God's good side. No, I'm on God's good side because God's good to me. Hallelujah. Because he's merciful. And he gives me his favor freely. He gives it to me through Jesus Christ. I have favor with God just by believing in Jesus. See, we got to get out from under the burden of not only condemnation, but we got to get out from under the burden of dead works. What are dead works? Those are the things that we do to try to make ourselves feel righteous. Those are the things we try to do to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. Those are the things that we do to try to make ourselves good in the sight of others. Always trying to work at being right, being righteous. Those are dead works. Those are waste of time works. And so many folks are striving and working to be right with God and to build up their self-esteem through their works, through what they do or what they don't do, what they resist and what they stay away from, and I don't drink like them and I don't do what these people do over here, so therefore I feel better about myself. I feel better about myself. That's all dead works. And it only brings a very inconsistent joy into a person's life. You can only enjoy yourself to a certain point, and then you're not going to enjoy yourself. You're not going to feel good about yourself. Your emotions are going to go up. Your feelings about yourself are going to go up and down if you just continue to base everything that you're doing on your works. It's dead. There's no life to it. But thank God, we are not to base our joy, our peace, our righteousness on our works, but we're to base them on Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We are to look to him and know that through him, I'm right. I got favor with God. I'm in good standing with God. Things are good. So guess what? I can get happy. Why shouldn't I be happy? Come on. If I'm good with God, then man, I should get happy. You should be happy. Hallelujah. If you're good with God. Someone says, well, Pastor, I'm just not sure if I'm good with God. Well, take your unsures, take the things that make you feel unsure, and bring them to God and turn them over to him. Repent of them, turn it over to him, praise God, and receive the surety of his mercy immediately. Receive the surety of his mercy immediately. Why hesitate? Why waste time? Come boldly and get it. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's go into this new year free. Free of condemnation, free of guilt, free of all the things that burden us down in life, all these dead works. Let's lay it all aside. Let's lighten up and let's enjoy life. Can we do that? Let's enjoy life. Turn to somebody and tell them, it's time to enjoy life. That's right. Life, I got news for you. Life was created, life, this earthly life was created for us to enjoy it. And this is deep. And it is deep in this world. It's deep in this world. But he says that he gives us all things freely to enjoy. So all things, everything pertaining to your life is about one thing. Enjoying life. Enjoying yourself. Isn't that amazing? God made you for his enjoyment. Now, how can you bring enjoyment to him if you're not enjoying yourself? I'm going to say that again. God made you for his personal enjoyment. He did. He made you for his personal enjoyment. You are to bring pleasure to him enjoyment to him. That's what your life is to produce for him. But how can you bring enjoyment to him if you don't even enjoy yourself? And how can you enjoy yourself when you're so imperfect? When you have so many flaws? When you've made so many mistakes? And you have so many issues? Say, Pastor, how do you know that about me? I just have a sense. How can you enjoy your life with all the things going on in your life? How could that be? How could you do that? Because you know that all those things are not what makes you you. It's him that makes you you. He makes you righteous. He makes you right in life. He's your righteousness. He's your righteousness. He's your peace. He's your joy. You're right with God because of him. If you're right with God, you're right in life. Things are right. Things are good. Things are really good. I mean, think about that. If things are going good between you and God, then that would mean things are going good for you. I mean, if God is God, if he is the author and finisher of our life, if he is what life is all about and who life proceeds from, then you're good. You're good. So let's just start enjoying it now. Why wait for Margaret to change or Alfred to change? Why wait on them? God's already ready. Why are we waiting for things to change in our life before we enjoy life? Why can't we just enjoy it now? After all, we're not carrying those things. We're not carrying the weights and burdens, the cares of those things. So if we're not carrying the cares of those things, then we might as well enjoy everything right now. Isn't that great? And there's nobody here in the room that's better than you. Even you with all your issues, with all your flaws. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have favor with God. You're good in God's sight. In fact, there's nobody gooder in the room. Look around. There's some good folks in here. But nobody's gooder than you. Isn't that something? You're not inferior to anybody in here. I mean, if you're not inferior to God, huh? He's made you to sit together with him. He's made you to sit together with him. He's made you one spirit with him. God is for you. He's not against you. Huh? He's not ashamed to call you brethren. So if you're good with God, you got favor with God, if you're in right standing with God, there's no inferiority between you and God, how much less there would be inferiority between you and anybody else in this room? In fact, you're already on top. You're not climbing the ladder of success. You are a success. Enjoy it. You're already a success. You've already reached the top. Come on. You might not have some kind of platinum album out there, but you've got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life that's before our Heavenly Father. Your name's written up there. You've already made it. They've already got you in the book. Somebody say, I'm the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. No condemnation. No guilt. No inferiority. I'm not striving to be happy. I am happy. If we just get a hold of that and stay there. I am happy. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Well, if I just had this, I'd be happy. That's a dead work. That's dead. That's a dead work. If I just had this, if I could just do this, I'd be happy. No, friend, you've already got it. You've arrived. Where? In the Lamb's Book of Life. You're on the register of heaven. You've got a place at the table. I'm talking about God's table, where God said that He prepares a table before you, right in the presence of all your tribulations, all your troubles, all the troublemakers, all your enemies. Glory to God, you've got a table. I'm already at the table. Ha ha! Hallelujah! I'm not trying, striving to be a better person. You don't get much better than this. That's right. Some of you are not sure about that. But it's true. You can't get much better than this. The righteousness of God. Is there anything higher? Is there anything better? And that's who you are. You say, but I have failed and I've had shortcomings and I've got these issues in the flesh that you know, I keep trying to work out. I keep trying to, that's fine. Praise God. Thank God. God's with you to help you through it. To help grow you up in your faith. But get excited about it. Because He's with you to help you, to grow you up in your faith. He's not standing over you with a mallet, ready to come down on you. See, I just about can't handle you anymore. I can't much put up with this anymore. That's not God. He's not looking to come down on you, praise God. He's looking to come up under you, to lift you up. Just keep humbling yourself under His mighty hand. Oh, hallelujah. The happy life is the humble life. You are a work in progress, according to the flesh. We're working out this salvation. We're learning to mature and grow in our faith. That's a process. We're getting it. We're growing. We're getting our understanding. We're growing up. But in the process of maturing and growing up, we are already children of God. We're already members of His household. We're already a part of the family of God. We're already there. We're members of His body. We're growing in our understanding. We're developing. But man, there's no reason to get uptight about that either. You can enjoy the journey of faith. You can enjoy the maturing. Even when you have moments of spiritual immaturity, where you disbelieved God and you missed it, you fell short, you stumbled in the flesh. Even in that, you can lift your head up high. You can lift your head up and be happy, knowing that Father is right there with you to help put you back up on your two feet and to walk with you. Huh? Just like a baby raises his two hands and the daddy and mama take that baby by the hands and walk him. Praise God. You and I just have to lift our hands to God. Just praise Him. Thank Him for who He is. He is merciful. He is good. He is patient. You don't even have to get down when you fall down. I said, you don't even have to get down when you fall down. Why? Because Father is right there to pick you up. That's good news. That gets me happy. That I know that Father God is right there to pick me up and to help me. To help keep me on track. To help me. To walk with me. Even when I fall down, He's there. Encouraging me. Saying, where are you? Come on. He's right there. So I'm trying to find where you can have an excuse for not being happy, for not enjoying your life, not enjoying your day. You Can't tell me about your shortcomings. Can't tell me about your sin and you're missing it, because there's too good of a God there. That's too merciful. That's pursuing you. That's with you to help you, to pick you up, to lift you up, to encourage you. You know what falling down means? It means more encouragement. It means more grace. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So you fall and you repeatedly fall in an area. Guess what God's doing? He's making more grace available to you. More of his grace means more of him. More of his spirit, more of his attention, more of his life, more of his power. He's making more of himself available to you to help you over that thing. Now you still have to turn and receive it. But that shouldn't be a big deal. That shouldn't be a big deal. Once you know that he's this merciful, that even in falling, there's no reason to be upset. Because more grace is there for you to turn around and obtain from him. Isn't that amazing? I said, isn't that amazing? That sin, which you would think would push you away from God, separate you from God, has now only made more grace available to us, has only made more of God available to us to help pull us into God, pull us back into him. Wow. Hallelujah. He's got a strong arm. And he reaches out and he wraps that arm around you and pulls you back into him. Brings you back into himself. Oh, glory. So I'm asking you, tell me, where can you find a good reason to not enjoy life? People? Circumstances? God's bigger than all that. And you, what you need to understand tonight is that in whatever that circumstance might be, there is more grace for you. I've been amazed over the years, you know. There's some folks, you know, and they've got it pretty light and easy. They just seem to be moving through stuff in life, growing in their faith. And then there's folks that, you know, are struggling and so forth. I lay my hands sometimes on the person that's doing well, not really experiencing a whole lot of tribulation in their life. They're maintaining their life of faith, walking in faith. I lay hands on them, and God will bless them. His presence is there. He's looking to bless everybody. But then there's some folks, you walk up to them, and I mean they're struggling. They have it hard. It just seems like everything around them is not working right. At least that's how they perceive it. And man, I lay hands on them, and a power of God will jump all over them. He'll just pour himself out on them and just get all over them. I've watched God do that time and time and time again. I've watched people, they don't even have any, I mean, they're really backslidden. And they come and they just give their life back to God, and man, he's all over them. He's all over them. Why? More grace. More grace. More grace. He pours out more of himself. Now, that's not something, a rule whereby you can look, measure God's favor on your life by an experience. I didn't say that for that, so don't turn it into, well, he lays hands on me and I just had a little dabble, but Charlie next to me went down under the power and shook and even foamed at the mouth a little bit. I'd like to foam once in a while. Don't compare yourself with somebody else's experience, because you don't know all the details. You don't know what's going on. But I've just seen that time and time again. I've seen sometimes it's the most weakest ones that he pours out more strength. Some of the most vulnerable ones, he pours out more grace. Are you with me? So what's the point? The point is God knows how to level the playing field so that nobody's got an advantage over you. If you've had a tough life and things are tough, going on in your life and things are tougher for you than this guy over here. Well, guess what? God's grace will level the playing field, and Charlie over here will have no advantage over Harry over here. He'll level the playing field. Nobody's got an advantage over you. Nobody's got an advantage over you. God is for you. He's available to you. Sometimes in the toughest times, if we would just understand this, there's more grace available to us. Then in those toughest times, they can be amazing times. You can experience a Garden of Eden type of experience in some of the worst tribulations in life. You know, he says that, Paul says it over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Somebody say, life is good. Life is good in Jesus. Hoo-hoo-hoo, hallelujah. He says over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse 4, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. Now you think about all that the apostle Paul went through. You see it, read about it over in the book of Acts. Look at his life. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked, lost at sea more than one time. Imprisoned more than one time, beaten more than one time, insulted, lied about. People lied about him and betrayed him. I mean, this man went through it continuously, it seems. And yet he writes, he says, I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. He doesn't even say, I'm doing okay. Don't worry about me. I'll be all right. God's for me. His grace is sufficient. And I'm going to get through this. I know I'm going to get through this, church. Keep praying for me, but I know this is all going to be all right. God is with me, and he comforts me, and his grace is sufficient for me. So I know it's going to be all right. It sounds nice, doesn't it? But notice what this man says. He says, I'm exceedingly joyful. Just trying to express it. I'm exceedingly joyful. I mean, exceedingly. That's what he said. He didn't just say, I'm going to be all right. I'm doing okay. You don't worry about me, Mom. He says, I'm exceedingly joyful. Why? Because he understood this, which we're trying to get across here tonight. Paul understood that when he was up against the wall and when things were at its hardest, when things were at their toughest, when things were at their worst, when he was at the weakest, that's when more grace, more strength, more power, more of God's presence would be upon his life, because God levels the playing field, because God adds more grace when there's more things going wrong. So the more things are going wrong, you got more reason to get excited, because there's more grace that is easily accessible to you. But you won't access it if you don't know that. You definitely won't access it if you think these tribulations is God's way of punishing you, or God's way of getting back with you because you didn't pray today, or you didn't do what you were supposed to do. So if you still carry around guilt and lack confidence in God's mercy, that it's forever and it's all the time, if you still lack faith in there and you have guilt in your heart, you will not plug into this grace. You'll not plug into this. You'll doubt, you'll wonder. But if we could just get rid of all the doubting and the wondering and just base what we believe to be true on God's word and understand, there's more grace available to you when it's tough, when times are tough. And so you could say, I'm not going to just be all right. I'm okay. That's not good enough. It's not good enough to just be okay. It's not good enough. You were created to be exceedingly joyful so that you are enjoying life and thus are an enjoyment to your Father God. God takes no pleasure in whiners. Do you? No. He doesn't like that. People whining, children of Israel. I mean, no matter what God did for them. No matter what he did for them, split the Red Sea. He did great things for them, didn't he? He did great things for them. He gave them a victorious life. What a victory. Come on, what a victory. Overcame the Egyptians. Overcame all the hazards of the wilderness time and time and time again. But those folks would not enjoy it. They would not enjoy it. They just kept looking at the circumstances. They just kept looking at the circumstances. And they said, we're going to die in this wilderness. We're not going to make it. They kept looking at the circumstances. They didn't realize. Do you understand how much grace is available? There's a cloud full of fire over your head. Can we look up and see the cloud? They had this cloud following them. It was God. He was in the cloud. His grace was in the cloud. His grace was so in manifestation, fire was coming out of a cloud all night long, keeping them warm. There was an abundance of grace available to them in that hazardous place called the wilderness. It was a hazardous place, but there was an abundance of grace. But what they kept looking at was the hazardous place. And they kept saying, we're going to die in this place. It's hopeless in this place. And so they wouldn't receive the abundant of grace that was hovering over their heads. What am I saying? Are you going through a tough time? I got good news for you. There's a cloud full of fire over your head. And if you would believe, oh my, how warm you would begin to feel at night. You would have such warm, fuzzy feelings that you would say, like Paul, I'm exceedingly joyful in my tribulations. I'm exceedingly joyful. I'm really happy. That's what that means. I'm really happy. Oh, man. There's a cloud over our heads. I said there's a cloud over our heads. God's face is shining on us tonight. You don't know what I've done. God's face is shining on us tonight. Praise God. Open up and receive. Open up and receive. Receive his presence. Receive his presence. Because in his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Now, circumstances might not look that great, but in his presence. And the worse your circumstances look, more presence is available to you. How do we get the presence? Same way a little child gets their daddy to help him walk. Reach your hands up. Begin to praise him. Begin to magnify him. He said over in Timothy, I would that men would lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Lift up holy hands to God. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands to him. Come on, lift your hands to him right now. Just lift your hands to him in faith. Glory to God. Lift your head up too, praise God. There's no need for shame. There's too much love. There's too much grace. There's too much mercy available tonight for anybody to feel hopeless, shameful, defeated, beaten down. No, there's too much, too much. Bible says God is singing over you. He's singing over you with songs of deliverance. Ha, ha, ha. Ooh, hallelujah. He's singing over you, glory to God. Songs of victory. Songs of liberty. Where he is, there's freedom. Oh, it's going to be all right. Because I'm all right. Things are good between me and God. I'm right in his sight. God is for me. God is with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So these feeble circumstances will change. I got news for you. The devil's feeble. He is so feeble. He is full of aches and pains. He has not recovered from the wounds inflicted upon him. Do you understand? I mean, when Jesus beat him, he beat him good. He beat him good. He whipped him, scarred him. The devil, every day the devil gets up, It don't take much. You just got to poke him a little bit. Just poke the devil a bit. It's sore. I've been here. Oh, it's sore. That's where he gave me the flying sidekick. You see this? That's where the drop axe kick was. I mean, Jesus let him have it. Don't you wish you could see that video? When Jesus went into hell and just defeated the devil like that, disarmed him, made a public spectacle out of him. I mean, this is just blow away any Bruce Lee movie. I'm telling you, the devil is sore. He's feeble. He's feeble. So guess what? Any kind of negative circumstances that he has stirred up in your life, they're all feeble too. They're not as strong and as solid and as permanent as they seem. It's like paper cards, you know. You ever make like a castle out of paper cards? You know, you take the cards and you make a pyramid and you can build up like that. You know? That's what the devil builds up. That's the kind of walls he surrounds us with. There's people sitting there going, it's the queen of spades. You know, they're just looking around. There's the Joker looking at him. Talking about on the cards, you know. You got the Joker laughing at him. Oh, take it away, Jesus. And from their perspective, you know, they're this thing's been building. The enemy just keeps building the cards up, you know. He keeps stacking it, and people are so impressed by the height of it all. They're so impressed by the problems. And they feel like they could just never get out. There's no hope. But it's feeble. It's weak. I said it's weak. If we would just take out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, if we would just wave it around a little bit. You don't even have to be good at it. You could be like a spastic little kid. We got this samurai type of sword in our house, and my little kids go over, you know? They take the thing out of the sheath. I go, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Why? Because I know even as a little kid, they can do a lot of damage. Right? They can do a lot of damage with a samurai sword. How much damage can you do with samurai word of God? Huh? How much damage can you do? Huh? Ching! You could be like a spastic little kid. Don't even know what you're doing. Just confessing the word.
Praise you, Jesus. Pastor said we can, and I believe the Bible's true.
I should have brought the sword to really illustrate this. Walk down here in the front row.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
What would you do if a little kid just came running in here? Little kid, little weak little kid. I'm not talking about, just about a little kid. But he has a samurai sword in his hand. And he's like, hi! And he's running towards the front row. What would you guys do? You would split like the Red Sea. You'd split like the Red Sea. That's exactly what you did. You wouldn't sit there and go, hey, it's just a little kid at all. Kid don't have to be powerful. Sword, plenty powerful. Sword, plenty powerful. Father God, take safety lock off Bible. Hands to little kids and say, have fun, kids, in the devil's kingdom. Have fun in the devil's kingdom. Right? I'm surrounded by devils. That means it's easy to hit them. I mean, if they're scattered and there's only one or two, that's tough. Oh, I think that's a devil over there trying to cause me trouble. See, that's tough. Right? The more problems, the more demons.
We're surrounded by demons.
That's great. Because you can be wild with this thing. And you can take down a lot of devils. Right? And if you're in a whole room full of devils, you only have to just go, bah, 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 and they're going to fall. Do you see? Get excited. Praise God, surround me. Let's have some fun. See, some of you didn't want to respond to that. No, I don't want to be surrounded by devils. You just shut down really quick. Like, did he say surround me with devils? No. See, there's no confidence in the Bible. More devils, easier to have victories. More problems, more grace. Easier to have victory. Oh, hallelujah. If we could just plug into it and learn to live life by our faith, out of our spirit. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, glory to God. Such peace, such joy, such victory. So much to be happy about. So much to be excited about. Glory to God. And all these things, all these little sand castles, paper mache castles, whatever, these, it's easy to bring it down. It's all temporary and subject to change. So don't go up and down with the circumstances of life. Stay on the rock. Stay on the side of what is true about you. You're God's best. You're his righteousness. He's pursuing you. He's in love with you. All that he is, all that he has is yours. You're a member of his household. You're a family member. You're part of the family. Part of the family of God. Your name is written in heaven. Oh, enjoy. Enjoy who you are and know if God is for me, who can be against me? This will change. This will change. And I'll enjoy watching things change. I'll watch God lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, despair, destruction, all kinds of problems. I'll just enjoy the journey knowing that I'm passing through it. And he will lead me through this thing and it will all turn around for my good because I believe in him, I trust in him. Because I'm right with him. I'm right with God. Are you right with God tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Are you really right with God tonight? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Why don't you get on your feet and just thank him right now and worship him for it. Glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.